Jesus said, abide in him. And we could ask, did you believe that scripture this morning? The subject for this morning is an imitation of life. Imitation of life. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, once again we have gathered into this space, sacred space. And we came, God, to lift your name on high. We also came, God, to be in your presence on holy ground. We came because the world has beat us up this week. So we came for renewal. We came for refreshing. We came for restore. We came to hear a word, God, that will carry us in the days and the hours and the weeks to come. So right now, God, we humbly empty ourselves of all distractions. Anything that would be a stumbling block that will keep your word from going forth. Take us out of self. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see your way, to see your will, to see your plan, and to understand, God, that we are your children and that you have promised us some things, God, and we know you to be faithful to every word that you have said. So now, God, I thank you for trusting me with your word. Thank you for trusting me with your name. Thank you for letting me be a vessel today that you could use to speak to your children. So Holy Spirit, thou art welcome. I promised you, God, that if you would take care of the death, I would take care of the breath. But today, God, I need you not only to take care of the death, but also the breath. Give my words clarity, help them to make sense, and at the end of our time together, we will know that we've been in the presence of the Almighty God. So Holy Spirit, take over now, in Jesus' name, amen. Imitation of life. We know that the Bible says that Jesus has already blessed his children with every spiritual blessing in high places. Already, it's done. For the believer, it's done. But not only did he tell us that, he also said that he came that we may have life, and not just life, he said abundant life. If those two statements are true, and they are, because they were breathed by God, then we as Christians are to claim them as true. So if those two statements are true, then somebody tell me, why is it that so many Christians live beneath the benefits that God has provided for us and made accessible to us? Why have we chosen to live an imitation of real life? Why have we chosen not to have an authentic relationship with the Almighty God? Why is that so easy for us not to live in the promises that God has made? An imitation of the real thing. The word imitation means that it's a fake, it's a phony, it's a knockoff. I'm sorry, Ursus, y'all be seated. It means that it's fake, that it's a knockoff, that it's an imitation, it's a copy. It's not real, it's not authentic. It is superficial, and it has absolutely no meaning. So church, why have we as Christians adopted the mentality that we can fake it until we make it? Why would you want to fake something when you could have the original with all of the power and all of the blessings that it comes with? But it's too many of us faking it, and we never make it, because you can never achieve the goal you want to achieve apart from God. What's interesting to me when I thought about this subject of imitations, the U.S. custom says that in the United States, imitation goods and fake goods, counterfeit goods, are worth $1.2 trillion in the United States. And they did research, And it's because there's a demand for fake stuff. So since there's a demand for it, then there's a supply for it. These fake goods and imitation and counterfeit goods come in the form of apparel, clothing, shoes, purses, glasses, electronics, cameras, medicine. Just name something. If there's a real, there's a counterfeit. If there's a real, there's an imitation. So I bet you wonder, why am I telling you this? Because that $1.2 trillion is not a sum that was achieved by non-believers. It's got some Christian money in there. They did research to find out, why do people gravitate toward fake stuff, imitation stuff? And there are several reasons. One is cheap. It don't cost nothing. The second reason is because of peer pressure. We want to keep up with everybody else. We want to have what's trending. We want to be up to date. We want to be fashionable. We don't want anybody to outdo us. We want to pretend that we have arrived and made it. We want to appease our flesh. We want to satisfy our desires for material things. We want to pretend that we are better than others. So we have decided with the world to fake it until we make it. Now, let's be truthful. We like to be in the in crowd. We like to satisfy our flesh. We like to be accepted in groups and gatherings. We like to be invited to things. We like to have likes on Facebook. We do all of these things just like the world does, because we have decided to fake it until we make it. We've decided that it's not worth it to live an authentic Christian life in a real relationship with the Almighty God. We've decided that it doesn't take all of this worship. It doesn't take all of these Bible studies. It doesn't take all of the things that the church keep asking me to do. Well, first of all, the church didn't ask you to do it. God said for you to do it. So we've decided that it doesn't take all of that. Just a little dab will do us. When I want Jesus, I call him. When I don't want to be bothered, he don't have to bother me. I won't bother him, and he won't bother me. Now, I thank God for the word, because in the word, there's an answer to this problem and to this solution. And there are people under the sound of my voice who are saying to themselves, Rem Keys, that's not me. I don't know what you're talking about. I came all the way to church today for you to tell me something that does not apply to me. So there's a true story of a family who moved to Texas, and they chose to live in a small country town. And when they moved into this town, they discovered that it was a faith-based community. And the community welcomed this family, husband, wife, and two children. And pretty soon, the church did what the church does, start inviting them to church. Well, they got sick and tired of the church inviting them to church, so they start telling people they were atheists. When they start telling people they were atheists, their little girl no longer got playdate invitations. Their children didn't get invited to parties. And the church started isolating them and leaving them alone. So they had to move. They moved to another city in Texas. And while living there, they lived an imitation of a Christian life. They wore the crosses, they carried the Bible, they said amen, they waved their hand in the air like they just didn't care. And all of it was fake, and all of it was phony. So you see, he is talking to us. Yeah, he is. There are just days when we just intent on faking it, because it just takes too much. The imitation and the cheap stuff is on every corner. It's in the nail shops. It's in the wig shops. It's in the barber shops. It's in the nail salon. It's in the grocery store. It's in the bank. It's nowhere that you cannot go except major department stores and not find something fake, phony, an imitation of the real. And the church is no exception. The sad thing is we got people that we know and love will live and die and never experience an authentic, abundant life in Jesus Christ. And the sad thing of it is they don't even know it. Too many of us have accepted the fake, the imitation. Maybe not because we want to succumb to peer pressure. Sometimes it's just out of plain ignorance. We just don't know that it's fake. So the U.S. Customs says the best thing to do to learn what is fake is to study what's real. And when you study what's real, then you can determine what's fake. If you spend time and energy to study carefully the details about something that is real, the makeup of it, the characteristic of it, where the labels are, what is it made of, where did it come from, then it won't be hard for you to get fooled when somebody give you an imitation. My point is, in the Bible, there's a man who lived his life as an imitation of abundant life. This man had wisdom and knowledge, and he was rich. He was awesome. He was known all over the world. And the interesting thing is, this man had a relationship with God. I'm talking about Solomon, the king of Israel. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon in his last days called all of his household together, and he preaches a sermon to them. That's why it's called Ecclesiastic. It means the preacher. So the king has now lived his life as an imitation of the real thing. He started off right. He started off with a relationship with God. And the scripture tells us that his word for God was Elohim. Elohim means that Solomon recognized God as the creator of the universe. But in all of his conversations about God, he never used Israel's name for God, which is Yahweh. There's a difference in God as creator and God as Yahweh. Because God as Yahweh means that he is the Lord of your life. Solomon only knew God as Yahweh. With all of his wealth and all of his abundance and everything that he has, he gets to the end of his life and he says, I have wasted my time. I have been living an under the sun perspective. I have been living an imitation of what a real life in God is like and about. So he wants people to benefit from his life of living under the sun. He uses the word vanity. He said, I didn't deny myself of anything. Everything I wanted, I got it, I took it, I had it. He said, and it was all useless. It was all meaningless. It was all vanity. It was all my pride. It was all selfishness. And all of it was apart from God. He said, and it was just useless. It wasn't worth anything. He said it was like chasing after the wind. How do you chase the wind? You can't even see the wind. You see the effects of the wind. You don't ever see wind. So his point was, in all that I've done to try to make myself happy, to appease my flesh, to live life abundantly, I failed. Now the reason he failed is because he had asked God for wisdom. And God gave him wisdom. He was the wisest man in the world. But not only did God give him wisdom, he gave them possessions. He was rich. He had a revenue of $1.2 trillion. So the man is wealthy. But God told them not to marry foreign wives. Ah, but he decided, because he's so wise in himself, he decided that he would marry foreign women. And because he did, he abandoned his adhering to their thoughts, to their ideas. And instead of entering an intimate relationship with his God, he entered a relationship with all of these foreign gods. And now he's alienated and separated from God, and God is angry. And he says to himself, my life is useless and meaningless. So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna make myself happy. The Bible says that he had pools, he had reservoirs, he had horses, he had stables, he had coaches, he had chariots, he had parks, he had gardens, he did massive building projects, he had fleets of ships, he had gold, he had silver, and still he was not happy. He still said, all of this is nothing. It's just an imitation. It's not doing me any good. I still don't feel happy. I still don't feel fulfilled. He said, this is just a waste of time. But the scripture says he kept going. He then would begin to mate his animals and breed them so he would have more animals. He then would buy more slaves and get more servants and have them mate so they could have more children. In other words, he is living a life apart from God, and it's an imitation of happiness. It's not fulfilling. It's not satisfying. And he comes to himself and said, it's useless. It's vanity. It's life under the S-U-N. He said, I don't have a relationship. I don't know God. I'm just faking it till I make it. He said, but I'm getting old, and I'm at the end of my life, so when am I going to make it? He said, so the best I can do is warn everybody else. Church, God brought us here today to tell us a life apart from God is useless. And like Solomon, we can start off loving the Lord. We could use all the right words. We could say all the right things. But if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you don't have a thing. Everything you've done, all the things that the world has held up to you and told you were successful and told you were all of this in a bag of chips, none of that is bringing you happiness. So we come to church and we pretend all is well. How you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. How you doing? I'm fine. And inside, there's a silent war that's eating us up and tearing us up because we are living in imitation of the abundant life that Jesus died for us to have. So how do we fix it? Well, Solomon told us how to fix it because he learned from personal experience. He said, at the conclusion of all of this, this is my advice to you. Fear God and serve him and him only. Now, he also said, do it in the days of your youth. Well, the days of your youth is whenever you come into the knowledge, do it then. Don't put it off and don't delay it. So I said earlier, U.S. Customs says the best way to know when something is fake is to study the real thing. So how do we study? How do we get the true information? Well, it's in the Word. In the scripture that Sandra read, he said, abide in me. But now the first thing he said was this, I am the true vine. See, we read too fast. Why did he say he was the true vine? Because there's some fake vines. There's some plastic vines out there. There's some fake teachers out there. There's some false teachers out there. There's some imitation of teachers and preachers everywhere. The biggest imitator in all of creation is Satan. Everything he does is to mimic what God has done, and is doing. He tells us these half-truths. Well, if it's half-truth and half a lie, then it's a lie. So Jesus says, I am the true vine. Stay connected to me. He said, you're already clean, so you already know me. You've already professed me. He said, but you're not staying connected to me. He said, you disconnected right now, and you don't stay connected because you think that you can fake it till you make it. He said, but abide in me, and I in you. He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Church, you cannot have happiness apart from God. You cannot have godly wisdom apart from God. You cannot have peace and joy apart from God. You cannot have power and strength apart from God. So he said, abide in me and I in you. But then he was specific. He said, abide in my word. See, the way we can know what's truth and what's an imitation is in studying the word. Studying scripture. Now, I didn't say read scripture. I said study scripture. And the reason I said study is because the Bible says study to show yourself approved, rightfully dividing the word of truth. So Jesus said, if you abide in me and I in you, then you could ask me for anything. Then you'll have everything that you need. Then you'll have what's real. Then you'll have an authentic relationship, and you will not have to fake it until you make it. So, how do we abide? We study. We don't just say, this is the word of God for the people of God. Study the word of God. Live the word of God. Pray the word of God. Share the word of God. Live in the word of God. And then when you say, this is the word of God for the people of God, then you can say it from an authentic relationship with Almighty God. Study, apply, and share. Study, apply, and share. And you will stay connected to God. You see, when you study the scripture, you'll find out that there's a counterfeit to the Holy Spirit. And the counterfeit and the imitation to the Holy Spirit is wine and alcohol and drugs. It all gets you high. The Holy Spirit gets you high on Jesus. Everything else gets you high on yourself and the world. When you study scripture, you'll understand that the imitation and the counterfeit to grace is good works. So because we don't know any better, we spend our lives trying to do good works. You cannot work hard enough to have an intimate relationship with Jesus. That's a lie from the devil, and if you believed it, it's because you decided to believe it. The imitation to Christian relationships is social media. We spend all our time, some of us, on social media for relationships. We can't get relationships no other way. Nobody wants to be with us. We don't want to be with anybody. We don't trust anybody. But on social media, I could get likes. They're not liking you. They're liking what you said. So you still don't have an authentic relationship. And if you're not on social media, because I hear you, everybody's not on social media, but all of us have been in relationships that wasn't good. All of us have been in relationships that tear you down, destroy you, that leave you wounded, leave you devastated, because we were going after a relationship that was not authentic, not God-ordained, and we just faked it until we could get something else. But an intimate relationship with God, you will find people that love the Lord like you say you do. You'll find people that will pray for you. You'll find people that will build you up. You'll find people that will encourage you. You'll find people that will cry when you cry. You'll find people that will lay down their life for you. But see, the devil tells us these things because it looks good, it sounds good, it feels good, and it tastes good for a little while. Solomon got to the point, church, where he said, read the scripture. He said, I hate my life. Don't we live in a world today where people hate their life? We got suicides all day long of people who hate their lives because they've accepted an imitation of what real life is about. Because they did not accept the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. He said, I came that you may have life. And not just ordinary life. He said abundant life. You see, Solomon asked him for wisdom. Solomon didn't ask him for all the things that he had. But because he asked for wisdom for God's people, God gave him abundantly. Because the scripture says, now to him who's able to give exceedingly and abundantly more than you could ever dream or ask for. So he asked for wisdom and God gave him abundant, but when he got abundant, then he started leaning to his own understanding. And he abandoned God. Now for us looking on the outside as Solomon, a lot of us want to be Solomon. Because I said he had gold. He had silver. Everything he wanted, he got. So in my study and preparation, I ran across this fable. And the fable said that there was a man who had a dream. And in the dream, everything he wanted and everything he asked God for, he got it instantly. And that he had no problems, that he had no issues, that everybody loved him. Life was perfect. But in that dream, something happened, and he said, I'm sick of this. This is boring. This is not real life. He said, I want to suffer. I want to know what it's like to have tears. I want to know what it's like to grieve. I want to know what it's like to depend upon God. I want to know what it's like to ask somebody to explain scripture to me. He said, I can't stand this life. He said, it's just a life. He said, I feel like I'm in hell. And he hears this voice from heaven that says, where do you think you are? You are in hell. Well, now, church, if he was in hell, he was trying to hurry up and wake up from that dream. It's too many of us living in hell right here on earth. And that was not God's plan for us. That was not God's desire for us. So I came today to say, church, stop faking it till you make it. Declare this day that you will enter into an intimate relationship with the Almighty, everlasting, loving God who has died to set you free and to give you abundant life. Now, abundant life does not necessarily mean material goods. That's good. Abundant life is eternal life. Abundant life is peace. Abundant life is joy. Abundant life is resources from God. Abundant life is you have God's face turned toward you. And when you got his face turned toward you, you have his presence, you have his power, and you have his provision. Therefore, you have abundant life. So Solomon said, take the advice from me. Fear the Lord. Serve the Lord. Love the Lord. Confess today that you've been living beneath the benefits that God has for you. God is faithful and just to forgive us. And he's just waiting for us to wake up and say, this is hell. I don't want to be in hell. I want to be with God. I want that is real. Because when that is real, even if I have to cry, I don't cry alone. Even if I have to cry, he promised me that tears won't last forever. Even if I have to cry, he said, my grace is sufficient. Stop living your life trying to achieve what you can never achieve apart from the Almighty God. So Jesus said at the end of the scripture that Sandra read, I'm telling you these things so that your joy may be complete. that your life may be lived to the fullest, that you may live an authentic, real relationship with me. God the Creator and God the Savior, God the Redeemer and God the Restorer. So church, now this is the word of God. And God the Father said, when you hear words from my son, listen to him. The question is not what will make you have an authentic life, a fulfilled life. The question is who, not what, who. And the scripture says, it's in Jesus that we move and have your very being. So if you're not in him, he said you are like the chaff and the vines that get cut off, thrown away, and burned. What's your desire? To keep faking it till you make it, or to enter into an authentic relationship? Which is an imitation of life or life eternal and abundantly? The choice is yours, and you decide. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, amen.